I'm glad that you're excited about many things going on in yeshiva. But here I want to talk about something that we can be passionate about. And let's give our focus to a mysterious sefer of Tanakh. Let's give our focus to Shir HaShirim. If you ever open Shir HaShirim, it can be incredibly perplexing. If you open a Shir HaShirim with the article translation, so they don't really translate the text of Shir HaShirim at all. If you go at it yourself, so you discover what seems like bits and pieces of love stories. There's this boy and this girl, the Dod and the Raya, often translated or mistranslated as the lover and the beloved. I think they're both in love with each other. The Dod and the Raya, the boy and the girl. And there's a lot of sheep going on, and they're inside and they're outside, and then there are guards, and a lot of running here and there. It's sort of like hard to figure out in it. There are fruits growing outside. Like, it's hard to feel what's happening. And it seems like a lot of sort of disconnected pieces. The reason why Art Scroll won't give you a literal translation is in part because a lot of the language is very affectionate, very, very affectionate. And in large part, because if you read Rashi, so it's interpreted as a mashal between for the love between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Often, different pieces of Shir HaShirim are focused on different particular episodes in the history of Klal Yisrael, the history of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, references to Matan Torah, references to Yitzhak Mitzrayim, references to different later points, building the Beis HaMikdash, perhaps destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So the article translation entirely follows. They say they follow Rashi, and it's all they translate all the nimshal. There's a mashal. There are bits and pieces of different interactions between this boy and girl. All a mashal takadosh baruch hu and klal Yisrael. So they just give you. They skip the mashal. They cut to the chase. They give you the nimshal in their translation. Kadosh baruch hu, klal Yisrael, the other nations, klal Yisrael, kadosh baruch hu, and so on and so forth. Dope. Not familiar.
The brown one, that shows the
rabbi. Perhaps.
It has the, in the sidebar, Israel to nation, nation to God. God
is okay. Israel to God, etc. Right. Right, exactly. So that is the, Art Scrollian presentation. And that truth is, through in Rashi. So some people do like, don't like that they skip the mashal, they don't skip the mashal. You like that they skip the mashal, you don't like to skip the mashal. But I want to share with you is a very fascinating and powerful approach of the Malbim, and it is really transformative in a lot of ways. He deals with both of the points we just mentioned. The mashal being HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. The nimshal is HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, the way Rashi presents it. And that the mashal sort of seems like bits and pieces, disconnected bits and pieces, hard to make out. There has been a lot of discussion among different mefarshim to how do you make sense of the mashal. Is it just different pieces of poetry that Shlomo HaMelech strung together to refer to different times? So Malbim was a master of Pshat Beruach HaChazal. Looking at Pshat HaMikra, with the sensibility of Chazal, with the reverence for Chazal, Gemara tells us that Pshat is an important part of learning Tanakh, not the only part of learning Tanakh, but certainly an important part of learning Tanakh. Gemara says there's one Amora whom it took time to learn this. It was Kabar Tamnisri, 18, either 18 years old or 18 years learning Yeshiva, before he came across the principle in Ein Mikriyotzi V'Dei Pshuto. Even though they're often we focus on the additional levels of interpretation, the drash and a pasuk, but every pasuk also has a pshuto shel mikra, and the Malbim looked at Shir HaShirim with the global assumption that that is true in Shir HaShirim also in terms of the nimshal. As when the Malbim looks at Shir HaShirim, he says, absolutely what Rashi quotes from the Midrashim, it's a mashal, it's a meta that Shir HaShirim is a metaphor for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. That's true al derech drash. But there's also a pshat in the nimshal. The Malbim says we need to work on two things when we learn Shir HaShirim. Then we have to figure out what the mashal is. What is, how do you make sense of the whole literal story of the boy and the girl and the sheep and what's going on with that? And then let's figure out what it means, what it's a metaphor for, al derech pshat. Al derech drash, it's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. But the Malbim suggests, al derech pshat, that it's a mush, it's not the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, but al derech pshat, the nimshal is HaKadosh Baruch Hu and an individual person. I want to take a look at that, and then we'll see that I did not found him quote the Rambam. I think there's a Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, which is already a much earlier source. The Malbim lived in the 1800s. And it's several centuries before, and the Rambam was already thinking about, if not exactly the Malbim's approach, definitely something similar. And the Malbim says, he thinks that al derech pshat, he thinks it's a mashal for the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Shlomo HaMelech himself. It's a diary. It's a lyrical diary by Shlomo HaMelech of the ups and downs of his own spiritual journey. And particularly, the ups and downs of a lyrical diary of his prophetic experiences. That's how the Malbim looks at it. So we'll come to that in a couple of moments. That's the Nimshal al Derech Pshat. If you like, you can think about it like this. It's going to be the mashal, the literal story. When we think about the nimshal, shir. There's the mashal of der pshat. And then there's, I said, the nimshal of der pshat, and the nimshal of der drash. So let's first talk about the mashal. The der drash is the famous HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, or as the Midrashim say, particularly in this context, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. But let's look at the mashal, and then let's come to Nimshal. Again, as you said, the Aderech Drash is on the national level. Aderech Pshat, we'll see, is on the personal level. But first, he says, we have to figure out what's the story. What is the Mashal? What's the literal meaning of the Psukim? And then we can work our way back. So Malbim says, I have one Chiddush that will allow us to understand how to make coherent sense of the entire story of Shir HaShirim. It says it's all one long story with the exception of an appendix. There's a couple of psukim at the end that are sort of stand alone as a separate appendix. And he says, this is not my Chiddush. He says the Tanakh describes, I believe it's at the beginning, near the beginning of at the beginning of Sefer Melachim. When it describes Shlomo attains great Chachma. Remember the story beginning of Sefer Melachim. David HaMelech dies, Shlomo becomes king at a very young age, and early on he has a dream, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what do you want? Do you want to have power? Do you want to have military success and this and that? Shlomo says in the dream, I want to have Chachma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you chose very well, you'll get it all. You made the right choice. You'll get the Chachma and the Osher and the power and you'll get the whole package. And that's when after that, the Tanakh begins to describe Chachma Shlomo. The famous story after that dream of the two women who come with a child, trying to figure out whose child it is. You have his interactions with Malka Sheva. And the Tanakh also describes different things that Shlomo knew and different things that Shlomo wrote. And here, if you're looking at this first double page here, is part of the Malbim's introduction to Shir HaShirim. Near the very bottom, he quotes the pasuk, "Al ze amar ayin zayin aleph, vayhi shiro chamishav aleph." Tanakh says his shir was 5 and 1,000. Usually assumed to mean that he wrote 1,005 poems. Malbim says no, it means he wrote a 5-part poem. Shiro, not shirav, a single shir was 5 and 1,000. What does that mean? He said, that's Shir HaShirim, which some Midrashim suggest that Shlomo HaMelech wrote when he was younger. So that's exactly what the Pesukim are talking about there. Shlomo HaMelech, when he was younger, after he attained Chachma, after the Siyata Deshmaya, to attain this extraordinary, superhuman Chachma, but he Shiro Chamesh V'Elef. He wrote a Shir, which was 5 and 1,000. At the very end of Shir HaShirim, Ha'elef l'chal shlomo masayim notim es karmo. If it's sort of this appendix about the talking about the younger sister, and the number thousand is the prominent there. So he says there's an appendix at the end, sort of stands on its own, and that's the Shir Ha'elef. But the core of Shir Hashirim is a Shir Chamesh, a Shir with five parts. So then that's the key to unlocking the mystery of Shir Hashirim. Because you want to know why there's so many comings and goings, it seems sort of disconnected. He says, Shir Hashirim, the mashal, leaving aside the end, working your way through the first 7.5 prakim, Shir Hashirim is a play in five acts, if you will. The story says there are three key characters. There's the Dod, the Raya, and the Melech. The boy and the girl, the Dod and the Raya, were in love with each other, and she would love nothing more than to marry the Dod and live happily ever after with the Dod. But she's been taken by the Melech. The Melech wanted her for a queen, and so she's been taken to Beis HaMelech, which is a familiar simple term. She's been taken to the palace, but she's not interested in being married to the king. She wants to be married to, she wants the Dod, who's a shepherd. So she's in love with the shepherd boy, but she's busy stuck in the palace. Now many people will be saying, I'm glad to be in the palace. But she's in love with the shepherd. So he says that the Malbim explains that there are five major episodes over the course of Shir Hashirim. Five times that they attempt to rendezvous. Five times that she attempts to leave the palace and meet the Dod and marry the Dod and move off and live happily ever after. The first four times end in her being brought back, often by the Benos Yerushalayim, by the guards. She ends up being brought back to the palace. The fifth time she escapes successfully, never to return. That says the Malbim is the basic mashal. That is the storyline. That's the plot line. The Raya keeps trying to leave Beis HaMelech to find her Dod. And as he points out, you see he lays out here on page Dalet of the introduction, Shir Rishon, Shir Sheni, Shir Shlishi, Shir Revi, Shir Chamishi, lines up the five different acts, the five different episodes in Shir Hashirim. And then as he says, from Pasuk Perakhes, Pasukhes to the end, it's Nosaf al Hamagila Azu Shir Katan. That's the separate appendix of Achos Katana, and that's their Shir El. That's Pshat in the Pasuk of Malachim. Vahi Shiro, his Shir, singular, was Chamesh Ve'elef. The single Shir Hashirim, and that suggests the Mam also is the meaning of the name. The title of Shir Hashirim is also the first opening phrase of Shir Hashirim. It's a Shir of Shirim. Different ways of understanding why Shir Hashirim means it's the greatest of all Shirim. He thinks it also means it is a Shir composed of multiple sub-Shirim. So it's five Shir Rishon, Shir Sheni, so on and so forth. But it's also a single Shir. Five acts, but overall a single coherent story. And the Malbim points out, while we're still on the topic of the Mashal, if you look at the different stories, they're not all the same. There are different moods, and specifically, she's often different. The Raya, who's really the focus of the primary protagonist of Shir Hashirim, is the Raya more than the Dod. You hear the Raya speaking, I believe, far more than you hear the Dod speaking. If you're sensitive to grammar, as you read through Shir Hashirim, sometimes the speaker is speaking to someone female, sometimes the speaker is speaking to someone male. So obviously, if the speaker is being someone female, that means it's the male Dod describing his Raya. If the speaker is speaking, describing someone male, that means it's a female Raya describing her Dod. So, for instance, probably the most famous, certainly within the walls of our yeshiva, probably the most famous episode is what Malbim describes as Shir Revi'i. Ani yishena v'libier. She's asleep, her heart is awake, but she's lying in bed. Right? And then that's the famous lines that the Rav made very, very famous, the Kol Dodi Dofik. Right? That the Dod comes knocking. The other times, typically, she runs after the doe. She tries to sneak out of the palace and find the doe, and she can find him. She can't find him the whole pursuit, and then she's being pursued by the palace staff. And she Revi, he actually comes to find her. He gets really close. He comes knocking on her door. Kol Dodi Dofik. And that's when she says, I'm already in bed. I already got into my pajamas. I cleaned my feet away. We got a bed, blah. Take a dress. Answer the door. Blah, 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 blah. And it sounds like it's like laziness. And then she's hearing the knocking and she's saying to herself, okay, I'm bad. And then suddenly the knocking ends. And the moment the knocking ends, she realizes, Gaval, what did I just do? I've been struggling for years to find him, and he was knocking. And now, what an idiot I am. Like, for a moment of laziness. And then she, all of a sudden now, after the knocking has ended, she missed the moment. She runs to the door now, and he's gone. And then she runs madly into the street looking from everywhere, and she can't find him. So this is the ebb and flow of the relationship. Different episodes are different. More passion, less passionate, lazy, this and that. There are others who are helping her. There are others who are trying to hinder her. That's the ebb and flow of Shir HaShirim. And finally, episode 5, they get away successfully. As he points out, you see here, Shir HaChamishi ends with Mayim Rabim Lo Yuchul Chabos Zahava. Nothing. All the wars in the world cannot extinguish this love. It's going to be forever. That, says the Malbim, is the mashal. He says, that's number one. You got to work. Now, what I'm showing you, by the way, is a copy of two of the pages of the introduction. If you've ever used Malbim on Tanakh, you know that typically it'll have... He'll often break his parish. Sometimes you just have one straight parish on the bottom. But often he'll break it into questions and then answers. But here, on the pasuk by pasuk, this is what you have in front of you is the introduction. On the pasuk by pasuk level, he actually has two separate perushim going on side by side. Mashal, they're together called. He has a name for his parish, a unique title for his parish on each sefer of Tanakh. I think on Daniel, it's right here. This volume has Daniel also. Daniel Yafech Lakeitz. On Ezra, it's the Aliyas Ezra, and so on and so forth. He has a name that fits for every sefer. So for Shir HaShirim, it's Shirei HaNefesh. And we'll see soon why it's called Shirei HaNefesh. But he has two subparts, which he does not do elsewhere. One is called Mashal, and one is called Militza. In other words, he has a running commentary, a pasuk has a commentary, to understand. Mashal is to understand what's the story of the boy and the girl and the sheep and all that. And then Militza is to work out the Nimshal Derech Pshat on a pasuk by pasuk level. But this, he has a gorgeous, gorgeous introduction where he lays out his whole theory. And so up until now, we've been talking about the Mashal. Now, what's the Nimshal? What's the Militza? So he says, and that's where he lines up. If you want to get the summary version over the course of page Dalet, of the introduction, he lines up. Each segment, he shows how each segment of the story corresponds to a different episode of Shlomo Melech's life. And he suggests that the Raya, the woman in this story, is a mashal for Shlomo Melech's neshama. HaMelech, the king, who is sometimes referred to as HaMelech Shlomo in Shir HaShirim, is a mashal for Shlomo Melech's body. And the Dod is a mashal for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he understands that poetically, metaphorically, the pshat of the Nimshal, Derech Pshat, the Nimshal is a dynamic story of the Shlomo HaMelech's neshama, the Raya, reconnecting with her Dod, her divine Dod, reconnecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu 5 times over the course of Shlomo HaMelech's career. 4 different episodes of Nevuah, when the Raya leaves the Melech, where the Neshama leaves the body and plugs into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in different 4 different episodes of Nevuah, and then returns back to HaMelech Shlomo, or to Beis HaMelech, returns back to the body after the Nevuah has completed. And then the 5th episode, when the Raya leaves HaMelech Shlomo doesn't return is the Petir of Shlomo HaMelech, where the Neshama leaves his body and he passes away. And he points out that, I'll take a question in a moment, and the Malbim points out that Shlomo HaMelech was, as I said before, it's a lyrical diary of his prophetic experiences. He's tracing, he was diarying, he was journaling, but in poetry, the ebb and flow of his spiritual career. You see, some there are times when it's amazing. I think he said, I believe he says that the first shir is a reference to that. Is a reference to that first nevuah that we mentioned before, when he's a young, newly minted king, and he has that dream with Akash, an incredibly powerful, incredibly positive dream, right? With an incredibly positive nevuah, and he's in a great place. And Akash Baruch says, "What he wants?" He says, "He wants chachma." Akash Baruch says that you made the right choice, and you're going to get it all. That's the zishakeni meshikos piyu. And then he goes on to talk about the different episodes of Shlomo Melech's life. Sometimes when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sought out Shlomo, sometimes when Shlomo sought out HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shir Sheni, Shir Shlishi, and then the Shir Revi, when the Dod comes knocking and the Raya is too lazy to get out of bed until the knocking stops, and then she misses the moment. That he points out is later on in Malachim Perek Yud Aleph, after Shlomo is... spiritually brought down by all those Nashim Nachrios, and that was the Rebbeinu Shlomo was knocking and you're not running to answer the door quickly enough. The Kol Dodi Dofek, and then only after it stops does Dariah get up to answer the door. And you see the ebb and flow of his relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu. There are times in his life when his relationship was very strong. There were times in his life when he was distracted and he wasn't taking advantage of the immense spiritual wealth that was available to him, certainly not to the extent that he could have. And Shlomo HaMelech was diarying, he was journaling about that, journaling in verse, journaling in poetry. It's a lyrical diary of his experiences with Nevuah. And it's a diary, and the Rambam tells us time and again, you see it in the end of Mesillas Yesharim as well, in the 26th parak. Rambam tells a number of times, Nevuah represents the highest level on the ladder of human spiritual achievements. And you think about Mesillas Yesharim, works with his Girsan, that Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Pinchas Ben Yair, the ladder, Zahiris, Rizas, and Nikias, and so on and so forth. At the very top is Kedusha, Ruach HaKodesh, and Kiyos HaMezim. You read Perek Chavav, which is about Kedusha and beyond, because Ramchal points out, beyond Kedusha, there's no Hishtadlus to do. You can get yourself into Kedusha, it requires both Hishtadlus and extraordinary Siyata Deshmaya. That's how he opens the Perek, and then beyond that, it's going to be all whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you. Beyond Kedusha, Ruach HaKodesh, Kiyos HaMezim, Nevuah. So that, he talks there about how that this represents the highest spiritual attainment, the highest rung on the ladder that we can climb to. And that's what Shlomo is describing, the way he's, the ebb and flow of being at the top of that ladder. The truth is, so a few things. So number one, it becomes far more personal. It becomes far more personal. And it's a description of a human being's interactions with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and human beings ebb and flow. And specifically, it's a description, it's a self-description of Nevuah. The truth is, this might not be the only self-description of Nevuah. Raya Kaplan, in more than one place, quoting Svarim that none of us, I believe, have ever looked at, but at least we can get it clichéni. He points out that, you know, the first mission, the second paragraph of Chagiga, talks about Masa Merkava and Masa Bereshis. The two major fields of Kabbalah. And the Mishnah, the beginning of the second paragraph of Chagiga talks about limitations on who can learn and teach Masa Merkava, who can learn and teach Masa Bereshis, Merkava is the first parak of the Peskel. Gracious presumably is the first parak, or maybe the first few parakim. Ramban al Torah seems to say maybe the first few parakim of Gracious. So what does it correspond to? Okay, we know the parakim in Tanakh. Gracious describes the creation of the universe. So what's the Kabbalah? What's the topic? And Merkava is the Haftarah. There's a short Merkava of Yeshayahu in the sixth parak of Yeshayahu, which we lay on. On Haftarah for the first day of Shavuot. There's a longer Merkava of Yecheskel, which is a whole parak plus beginning of Yecheskel, which we lay as a Haftarah for. I'm sorry, Yeshaya is the Haftarah for Parshas Yisrael. Merkava Yecheskel is the Haftarah for the first day of Shavuot. So far more explicit, but both of them are descriptions of the Malachim and Shamayim and how the Malachim are interacting. Yecheskel is very elaborate. With the different levels of Malachim, and describes whatever it means that Malachim has six wings, and describes that Kisya HaKavod with the four sides. Again, these are all metaphors for ideas. Ideas about a Kodesh Baruch. And our Kedusha, as an aside, when we say Kedusha four times a day, Birkas Kriya Shema, Shmona Esrei of Shacharis, Uval Tzion, and Shmona Esrei of Mincha, we are connecting ourselves to those two passages in Tanakh. Because Yeshayahu, very brief Merkava, describes the Malachim saying, Kadosh, 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 Hashem, Tzvachim. He hears the Malachim saying, Kadosh, 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 Hashem, Tzvachim, Lo Horat Kvodom. Yechezkel hears the Malachim saying, Baruch Kvod Hashem, Mekovo. And as you know, Pidin, those two psukim are the central critical part of Kedusha. Kedusha is really our opportunity, only with a minyan, to recreate the Shir HaMalachim. We don't know that much about Malachim, but Nishai and Yechezkel tell us that they say these two psukim. That's what Kedusha is. We have an opportunity as a tzibur to try to like reach out and touch the way the Malachim describe a Kadosh Baruch Hu. What's it supposed to mean? What is Merkava about? And what's Bereishis about? So, we can only just speak in Mitzvah Mishalbi Zolchet to be able to speak about this in greater detail. But speaking in broad strokes, just in terms of the topic, so Ari Kaplan suggests that Masa Bereishis is the study of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashpia on the world. How HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs his world, how he takes care of the world. And that's Masa Bereishis. Masa Merkava is a study of how human beings reciprocally, how human beings can reach out and up to grow towards HaKadosh Baruch, to be more mizdamen to Hashem. If you like, one way of thinking about it is that Masa Bereishis is Derech Hashem, and Masa Merkava is Seilas Yishar. Masa Bereishis is the Hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu vis-a-vis people and the universe, and Masa Merkava is a study of how a person can draw himself closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In very loose terms, okay, certainly the psukim of Bereishis, taken simply, describe the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu put together the universe. It stands to reason that if you have the tools and the insight to dig deeper, you'll find it not just a historical event of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the universe, but the deeper understanding of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the metaphysics, the spiritual aspects of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the universe and how he continues to sustain the universe. And Hagas Hashem El Habriya is the deeper meaning of Masa Bereishis. And Masa Merkava, the way Rabbi Kaplan describes it, he's not the only one to relate these two to each other. To give that Shag Yosef Aviv, he also talks about that. Understand what Masa Merkava and Masa Bereishis are. Rabbi Kaplan says that if you know, we'll take his word for it, that Masa Merkava, specifically Yechezkel, the Tanah point out Yechezkel, you can see in the Psukim, the Tanah very sensitive to this, the Yechezkel is far more explicit, longer and far more explicit about, it gives a lot of descriptions of what he's seeing. And Yeshayahu, it's very, very brief. So, the Rabbi Kaplan suggests that if you know enough Kabbalah, Masa Merkava, we talk about it's a study of how a person can draw himself to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's Mesilas Yesharim to the nth degree. Mesilas Yesharim itself, as an aside, I think we discussed in the past, was the first sefer written by an extraordinary Kabbalist after he was locked down from teaching any Kabbalah. So it's going to be a tremendous amount of depth in this plain, simple, straightforward language. And it's probably not for naught that there are 26 prakim and 10 steps in Mesil Sushan. But Rabbi Kaplan suggests that the Maaser Merkava is a study of how to, the process of getting into Nevuah. Not only Zahiras, Rizas, Nikias, and so forth, but at the top, the process a Navi goes through as he enters Nevuah is being that every Navi went through it, Yecheskel is describing it in detail. So that's interesting in its own right. Maybe it gives us a little more insight. I've wondered in the past whether only partially tongue-in-cheek, but Minhag Yisrael to stay up Leil Shavuos, one of the many things it accomplishes, is that it's Minhag Yisrael not to actually be able to pay attention to the Haftarah to the Haftarah of Ma'aser Merkava. Maybe there's a certain depth to that. We don't, you know, it's not for us to pay such careful attention to this. We're not on the Madrig. But be that as it may, what it means also, coming back to Shir HaShirim, is that we have several different passages in Tanakh that are describing the not just the content of particular Nevuos, but the experience of the process of getting Nevuah. That's the Merkava of Yechezkel in detail. That's the Merkava of Yeshayahu very briefly. It's the Merkava of Yechezkel in greater detail. And the Shir HaShirim, according to the Malbim, is several hundred psukim of this, a diary of Shlomo Melech's experiences with Nevuah. The less dramatic ones, the more dramatic ones, the more checkered ones, the more comprehensively glorious ones. But it's you have at least three different passages in Tanakh that are a Navi's diary of getting Nevuah. Tanakh is full of the content of their Nevuah. You have what Yeshayahu said, and what Yirmiyahu said, and what Hosea said, and what Sephaniah said, and so on and so forth. But a focus on the process of getting Nevuah, you have certain passages in Malachim that talk about the Bnei Nevi'im, but you have sort of these self-written diaries, Yeshayahu briefly, Yechezkel at greater length, and Shlomo Melech, that's all of Shir HaShirim. And then, let's close by considering not only the fact that Shir HaShirim is a diary of Nevuah, a diary of such extraordinary growth. Again, sometimes you get a chance to read, it's either the second or third volume of Sifsei Chaim HaMoedim. They have a section being called Derech Haliyah, where the children culled different pieces of their father's diaries. He kept diaries of his Kabbalas and of his Bonanus and Cheshbon Nefesh over the decades. And they sort of paint a little bit of a picture of his growth trajectory, long-term growth, not just, I'm going to be better next year, I'm going to be better next week. Sort of like, you see how he was setting goals and like growing from decade to decade. Right? That's like an amazing thing to be able to see the diary of a Jew who's growing. So this is like, Shir HaShirim is like the diary of a Navi. It's like a whole new level. So that's one thing just to appreciate. The other aspect to appreciate, with this we close, is to understand that what the Malbim is doing for us is the Shir HaShirim just became a lot more personal. And he says, absolutely, al derech drash, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And that's what Rashi is calling the Midrashim. But there's also, Eim Mikriotim De Pshuto, both we should understand the Mashal, and there's a Pshuto in the Nimshal. And that Pshuto, as we've seen, is far more personal. And I want to close. I mentioned before that when we got started, that I think the Rambam was released. I can't prove to the Rambam had exactly the Malbim shot, but certainly this Yisod of the Malbim, I believe, is written in the Rambam. Let's take a look here. The closing perek of Hilchas Tshuva. There are 10 prakim in Hilchas Tshuva. There's an old Litvish Minig. If the Rambam chose to write Hilchas Tshuva in 10 prakim, we can learn one perek a day over the course of Aseres Metshuva, exactly. Now, you need time to do that. So it might be more worthwhile, I would suggest, maybe why not start Hilchas Tshuva, if that's going to be your Musar Sefer for next Yom Haran, so why not start Rosh Chodesh Elul? You could do it a little more gradually, but try to see as much as you can, learn as much as you can of the Hilchas Tshuva over the course of 40 days, 39, 40 days of Aseres Metshuva. But if you're on the 10 prakim in 10-day schedule, then Perek Asiri obviously is on Yom Kippur. And Perek Asiri is appropriately all about Avoda Me'ahava. It's the closing Perek of Hilchos Tshuva. I would suggest it's not only the closing Perek of Hilchos Tshuva, but everyone gets the impression, in a sense, it's really meant to be the closing Perek of all of Sefer Hamada. Is this ideal Avoda, the ideal picture of the Ove Me'ahava, much as Raman tried to pair himself after Mishnayos. Much as Seder Taha, the opening parak of Maseches Kelim, is not about Kelim. It's really meant to be, clearly meant to be an introduction to Seder Taharis as a whole. So it could be, for the Rambam, the closing parak of Hilchos Tshuva is not really meant to be the last parak of Hilchos Tshuva. This is really meant to be the cap to all of Sefer Haman. And he describes such incredibly glowing terms. What it means is this is the ideal. The ideal is to be Oved Me'ava. And before you go any further, lest you take this out of context, an important disclaimer. The Rambam says, this is the ideal of Avodah Me'ahava. He says, it was reached fully by Avraham Avinu. So before you, beat yourself up that I'm not being Avodah Me'ahava yet. I'm already 16, 17, 18 years old. I'm not being Avodah Me'ahava. What type of Jew am I? Take it easy. This is, as I said before, this is a goal for decades. Goal for decades doesn't mean nothing happens for the next 40 years. Goal for decades means that I have a vision of where it could be 10, 20, 30 years from now. I have a vision of the type of grandfather I could be. That's a lot. I have a vision of what I could look like as a husband, as a father. It's already a madriga. And I kind of begin to take steps towards that now. And that's where I want to be. Hitch your wagon to the stars. And then you begin to travel in that direction. Not to hold ourselves accountable, how come we haven't reached this madriga? The madriga describes, this is the last parakin say for Hamada. This is extraordinary madrigas, but it gives us a sense of direction. In which way do you want to dream? And in which tree do you want to... You got to first put your ladder against the right tree. It may take a while to get to the top of the tree, but the first thing is to put your ladder against the right tree. You have to know which tree you're aiming to climb. And he says that explicitly. In Halacha Dalet, he says, Gedolei Chachamim, that's the top of the second page, Mitzavim L'Nevoni Talmidehem Maskilehem B'Yichud, the idea that appears begin in Pirkei Avos. Al Tiyu Ka'avadim Hashem Shiz Rav Nasa Kala Pras, and you really should strive to be an Oved L'Shma, and not L'Shem Schar. He says, that's what the great Chachamim told their choicest Talmidim, who were very, very attuned, B'Yichud, in private. Now this was not... We don't expect the masses to be oved, lishma. We don't expect ourselves right now to be oved lishma. But that's what we're driving for. As we grow, we're going to grow. I think I mentioned the Chayav Lashoner's line. La'olam yasek adam tar mitzvah yishol lishma. Is why the Gemara saying li'olam you should work, you should do mitzvah shol lishma. Should be talk shol lishma ba lishma. You'll come from shol lishma, so you'll grow into being oved lishma. You'll grow into learning lishma. So Chayav Lashoner says, why li'olam? You should always be Oved Shlo Lishma. He says, because there's always going to be a Shlo Lishma aspect. The question is, the goal is not to be totally Oved Lishma. Totally Oved Lishma, that's Avraham Avinu Moshe Avinu. But to set unreasonable goals for myself is counterproductive. Then I just get frustrated. See, but the goal is, over time, to shift the balance. If right now I'm 100% Shlo Lishma, or I'm 95% Shlo Lishma and 5% Lishma, the goal is over weeks and months and years and decades to shift from 95 and 5 to 80-20. Maybe I should be Zoche to be half and half. I should be Zoche to be incredible tzaddik and be 60% Lishma, 4% Shlo Lishma. But over time, to grow the Lishma element, to grow the Oved Me'ava element, as he says... In Perek Elach Adalid, Oved Me'ava Osek B'Torah Mitzvah. This ideal is Osek B'Torah Mitzvah V'Holach B'Nesivas HaChachma. You're doing Torah Mitzvahs. You're walking the ways of wisdom. You're on a certain path towards greater Chachma, the overall lifestyle, the made parallel language you saw in Mesil Susharim, but doing particular things versus being a certain Derech. Both. Lo B'Nei Davar Ba'Olam, not because of anything. Not because I'm worried about bad things happening, not because I'm worried about punishment, not because I want to get good stuff. I do what's real because it's real. This is true, this is real, this is the right thing. And of course, schar will come. Overall, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of me. But my primary focus, that's important language, sofa tova lavo b'chal, but by driving force is not, of course I believe in schar v'yonesh. That's one of the kari amuna. But my driving force is beyond the tova, is this is right, this is real, this is true, this is it. This is the most meaningful way to lead my life. He says, as I said before, Maila Zuhi Maila Gedolad Mo, this is incredible Maila. The Rambam is not given to exaggeration. Maila Gedola Ad Ma'od. This is very, 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 very great Maila. Ein Kol Chacham Zochala. Not every Chacham is Zochala to this. This is Maila Savram Avinu. Kadosh Baruch Hu called him Ova Avi, because he was Ova Me'av. Says that's the Maila, is remarkable. It's a Maila of Ramam Avinu, not everyone's Zochala to it. And then he says, and by the way, this is how Maila Shetivanu Kadosh Baruch Hu De Moshe Rabbeinu. But at the same time, we're all commanded to do this. Not everyone can do it. Not everyone's Zochala to it. But this isn't just a nice idea. We're expected to strive for this. It's an expectation, a normative expectation. We say it every day in Shema. V'yahavta eis Hashem elokecha. B'chol v'avachol nashachol madecha. To love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, if you love God, b'zman chi yehov es Hashem, ava haru'uya, if I really have a substantial love for Kadosh Baruch Hu, miyad yaaseh kol mitzvah me'ava. Then immediately, he may mean naturally. The other place is also the end of Hilchos Mezuzah. Also use the word miyad. Perhaps doesn't mean as much like right away, time-wise, as much as causality. Right? If I love Kadosh Baruch Hu genuinely, so I will naturally do mitzvah me'ava. Let's learn one more halacha, and this will bring us back to Shireshu. Kate said he ha'avar uya. What does this look like? He said that he had just mentioned, if you love a Kadosh Baruch Hu with ahava ru'uya, with an appropriate, fitting love. What does it mean to love a Kadosh Baruch Hu in a fitting way? Remember, I told you the Rambam tends not to be very flowery with his terminology, particularly Mishnah Torah. With that in mind, the next line is remarkable. She'yehov es Hashem ava gedola yisera rabba aza admaon. Got that? Gedola. Yesera, Rava, Aza, Admaod. Powerful, powerful, overwhelming love. This is incredibly flowery for anyone, same for the Rambam. Achete Nafsho, he's describing powerful emotion. Achete Nafsho Kshura Ba'abas Hashem. To the point that it is, again, this is the ideal. We should be Zochah to reach this after decades of growth. That person's nefesh is tied up with Abbas Hashem. Nimsa Shoge Batamid. That's a biblical reference. I'm thinking about it all the time. Ke'elu chole ha'ava. Like a man who's lovesick. You can't think about anything but that woman. She'ein datam penuya me'avas osa isha. My mind is never empty, vacated, of the love of that woman. Shehu shoge batamid. Thinking about it all the time. Be'im b'shivto, be'im b'kuma, b'shashu ocho, v'shosa. I'm sitting, I'm standing, I'm going place, I'm working, I'm eating, I'm drinking, whatever I'm doing, she's always on my mind. I love her. Not, you'll pardon me, but not a pseudo relationship that people sometimes choose to engage in without any commitment whatsoever, which might be cute. It might be in the moment seem like it's of substance, but if there's no long-term commitment, it's a passing fancy. But a real committed relationship, this is the person you care about, and you're committed to it for a lifetime, That sets the stage that opens the possibility of having a profound, profound, profound relationship. A shallow relationship that your friends may have, that's maybe a mushel of a mushel of a mushel to what the Rambam is describing. A profound love, overwhelming. I can't get it out of my head. She's on my mind all the time. Says the Rambam, Yeser mizeh, tia avas Hashem b'lev o'avav. The ideal avas Hashem is even more than it's an even greater to be lovesick with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to an even greater degree than this man who's lovesick for a woman. Shogim ba'tamid. He's on our mind all the time. Again, that the lovesick man is still eating and drinking and going to work and doing stuff. He's still functioning. It's not that he's just sitting on a park bench and just dream about this girl because he can't do anything. He's going through his day, he's doing things, but he's doing things, but his head is half here and half somewhere else. And not that he's driving unsafely, and not that he's working unproductively, but at the same time that he's going through whatever he's doing in the here and now, but she's on his mind. That plus is the ideal Avas Hashem. Yes, Mizet, Tia Avas Hashem Balev Avav, Shogim Batamid. So that's what the Pasuk means. We say it every day. B'chol Avavach, B'chol Nafshu, B'chol Ma'odecha. Pashup Shan the Pasuk. The Aderech Drash, it's a halachically binding Drash, that the B'chol Nafshecha means, I feel him no tail of Snafshecha. That you have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sometimes even, to be willing not to worship Avodah Zarah, even if it's Yavrihar V'yavah. B'chol Ma'odecha, even if it's going to cost you all of your financial assets. That's al derech drash. It's true. That's an additional level of interpretation. Al derech drash. Al derech pshat. Rama says, derech pshat, it means to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu fully, wholeheartedly. It's a tzivui, and it's an incredible idea. And then he says, v'hu sheshlomo omer derech mashal, ki cholas ahava ani. That's what Shlomo describes metaphorically, because kicholos ahava ani, I'm lovesick. Now it's metaphor, it's mashal, because Shir Hashirim ostensibly is not talking about Kadosh Baruch Hu and this Jew, but that description of the relationship, the raya, it's cholas ahava, right? That's feminine. So that's the raya talking about her dod. I'm lovesick for him. That's a mashal for the way a tzaddik, and each of us can be a tzaddik. Tzaddik is a Jew who does the right thing. Is the love that a tzaddik has for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he says, it's not just that one pasuk. V'chol shir hashirim mashal hu le'inyan zeh. And this is the line I wanted to bring us to. Rambam says, and all of Shir HaShirim is a mashal for this topic. Now I ask you, all Shir HaShirim is a mashal for which topic? For the passionate love that a Jew has for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is not the Chalal Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu stories of Jewish history, great moments in national history that the Midrashim talk about. That's Aderech Drash. But the Rambam here is saying Aderech Pshat. Shir HaShirim is a mashal for the love that a Jew can have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You want to know how powerful it can be? Read this story of how passionate this woman can be for this man. That's you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the mom. Again, I can't prove to you, I don't know necessarily that the Rambam would have held like the Rambam exactly with the whole Shlomo, that's particularly Shlomo HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech's life and Shlomo HaMelech's ups and downs of vicissitudes, but it is clear that the yesod that lies behind the Malbim, namely the Shir HaShirim, is a mashal for a personal relationship between an individual Jew and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is one of the, again as we saw, is one of the yesodos that the Malbim's whole approach is based on. That yesod is already clear in the Rambam. The Chol, if you, again, he doesn't, if you think about context and you read that line carefully, it's clearly the way he's saying it. Chol Shir HaShirim mashalim zeh. Shir HaShirim is a mashal to the love that a Jew can have for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You want to know what the ideal looks like? Like often with midos and with emotions. There's a limit to how much you can learn from Sfarim, from words. There's no substitute. And role modeling is always very powerful, but I think when it comes to midos, particularly so. You can learn, Aruch HaTzadikim is a very important sefer to learn. But and to actually spend time with the person who's a real anav, you know, don't. Just learn Aruch HaTzadikim versus learn Aruch HaTzadikim and see an anav with Moe Nine, that's incredibly powerful. I would suggest is one of the greatest opportunities here at Yeshiva. Incredible opportunities on a lot of levels. But one of the underrated opportunities is to be able to spend time with mechitzasam of so many people who are such incredible anavims. That's an extraordinary experience that can mamish change your life, literally. And that's what Shlomo Melech was doing. We could talk about Avas Hashem, but look at what it looks like. Read this story. Feel next, second best to actually
to actually seeing the people live is good literature, holy literature. To read this, to get a sense of what they feel like, what they're like, and the dote and the right. You know, I don't know what passion is? You read Shira Shirim. And then you understand, as the Rambam said, it gives you an inkling of what it could be like to be in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In a healthy, balanced way. Not that I'm lovesick for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm just lying on the park bench and I can't, you know, my life just stops. I may take out time in my Shmon Esrei, in my Hizbodus, in my Chesh Benefesh, to just focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes a part of, like the guy who's lovesick about the girl, or the girl who's lovesick about the guy, I'm going to be going through my day, I'm going to be functioning. At the same time, my head is here, and it's also on a higher plane. And that says Rambam, is the mashal. That's the nimshal of Shira Shirim. And with this we close, and then I'm glad to take questions. Now we circle back to where we started. We appreciate that the Minig Yisrael, ancient Minig Yisrael, the Masechta Sofim already records from the days of Gaonim to read Shira Shirim and Chag HaPesach. This is when the relationship began to be kindled. The national relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. But it gives us the opportunity to have our own. This is when the relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins to be kindled. And it makes us think, I would suggest, about how to approach Pesach. And to approach a Seder in a personal way. The Seder is a story of Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you're supposed to walk away with my own emunah strengthened. Supposed to walk away with my own hakar satov for HaKadosh Baruch Hu strengthened. It's supposed to be an intensely personal aspect of Pesach. And if there is, so then the growth of a Pesach is eno doma. That's far greater. When you're looking at the personal aspects of a national story, that's a whole different level. These are some of the thoughts we should bring with us to Pesach. These are some of the thoughts we should bring with us when we listen to the reading of Shir HaShirim. To appreciate it. Again, hopefully now the story is clear, the mashal is clear. You know, we can make sense of the basic storyline in terms of the mashal, and it might not be a bad idea to hold on to the Malbim's summary as you listen to Shir HaShirim and to follow along. Maybe even to carve out some time between now and then to work through the psukim. Even if you don't have a chance to work through all the psukim with the Perish HaMalbim, and the Pasuk by Pasuk Perish HaMalbim, but at least to sit down with the Tanakh and sort of sketch out what's a Shir Rishon, the Shir Sheni, the Shir Shlishi, to begin to see sort of what the segments are, and what the overall flavor and flow of the story is. It's transformative in terms of appreciating the Mashal, it's transformative in terms of appreciating the Nimshal, and then this Sifra Tanakh is supposed to have an impact on us. If we understand them, if we appreciate them, so then we open our hearts to having the incredible impact of the Sefer that Reb Kiva calls Kodesh Kodashim.